And now we're going to jump into the realm of archetypes. I want to set the space. I want to set your inner space. I want you to run upstairs again with me. You are on the mystical plane. You haven't incarnated yet. You're packed in your backpack with your contract. You're about to descend. But I can't let you go just right yet, not completely on your own, because you have to have a team. You have to have a team of guardians. I can't let you go immediately on your own. This is where I take you to the archetypal realm. So I'm going to take you by your hand, and we're going to go down one level. And here we are in a realm that exists between what we could think of as divine eternity and the human unconscious. Here is this space. It's almost like the psychic ozone or the unconscious ozone. And in it are patterns, universal patterns of consciousness that we all, every one of us, recognize. And that's an archetype. Let me give you a feel for one. If I said to you, that person is such a bully, do I have to describe bully to you? All of you would more or less define it the same way. Or if I said, that woman is such a nurturing mother. And then if I said to you, define nurturing mother, all of you would at least come up with three words that were identical in your definition. Now, this is so intriguing. I want to push you into this more because it's absolutely fascinating. An archetype is more than a definition or a pattern. It's kind of an interesting discussion. Is it a being? Is it an angel? Is it what exactly is it? So I'm going to give you a sort of half being, half angel, half pattern. How many halves can I have? Equation. Well, thirds. Let's divide it into thirds, okay? Colleagues of mine would suggest that an archetype is a neutral pattern, just a thought form, but it's larger than an ordinary mortal thought form. It's a grand thought form that we all recognize, a kind of a mothership, and that it beams identical waves into every one of us that has that same pattern. I think there's a lot of truth to that. By being neutral, it means that an archetype is neither a positive nor is it a negative force. It simply is a pattern. Okay? Some other of my colleagues, and I'm talking about people who are professionally trained, like Jungian analysts, whose field is archetypal studies, would suggest that archetypes are actually beings and should be considered beings. And I think, well, in a sense, I could accept that too. Now, I want you to follow this because it's so exciting. If you and I, if all of us shared the same archetype, which we do, we all have a child archetype. Now, I want you to imagine that there's a grand ship called the child archetype. So all of us are doing two things simultaneously. We're sending feedback to this huge child archetype about how our personal child is evolving. We're checking in, okay? This is not unlike the image I gave you earlier, which is to be a server in the computer system and the email, where the child could be the server, and each of us has a computer. We're all working from the same program. That program is called the child program. This is better. So every day I type in how my child experienced the day, and if my child got angry, and if my child was happy, and if my child was abandoned, and if my child this, and what my child learned today, and what my child is struggling with. And then I hit the send button. So that sends up to the server called child. Now all of us are doing that simultaneously through this, the grand child archetype evolves. This is how evolution occurs, because all of us feed our own individual patterns into this larger one, and the larger one continues to shape and reshape itself according to what we're doing. Does that make sense to you? Okay. In this way, you could say, well, is an archetype real? Is it a being? In a sense, it is alive. In a sense, it's mechanical. In a sense, it's intimate. In a sense, it's completely impersonal. It's all of these things. But the one thing you can count on is that it's real. It's a genuine, genuine force. The first thing you do when you meet somebody is you sense their archetypes, believe it or not, long before your eyes focus on their body and face and your ears attune themselves to their voice. Long before that, your animation frequency, that part of your energy, has already reviewed their energetic system, and you've already picked up their archetypes. You've already sensed them. Listen to everybody. From now on, I want your ear to tune up. Listen to the way you describe people. Listen to how often you said, that person just reminds me of a fill in the blank. What do you think you're talking about? You've just picked up an archetypal pattern. You could say, that woman is just such a princess. You're picking up a pattern. You're picking up an archetypal pattern. As I talk to you about these, what I'm talking to you about is material you've always known. You've known and you've always known. You've grown up knowing. It's been in your instincts. It's been in your field of sensory systems. You've always been able to sense this. What you've perhaps never known is how far back and how intimate your connection to archetypes is, what role they really serve, and how to consciously engage with them. So, up we go. Come back up with me. Whoosh. We're in that place where I'm going to walk you down and I'm going to say, now then, you have this distinct contract in your life and a lot of small ones that are going to make up the whole. You need a team to help manage that. You need archetypal guardians that will script, hold, maintain, and refine your consciousness to the maximum, that helps you see reality, interpret reality, approach reality in a way that suits your life's work. Okay, having said that, let me take that definition down to an even more grounded types. And you think, in this lifetime, I really need to do a lot for people in the area of helping them heal from wounds. That's my role. So I would say to you, well, then you know what? You need to have the wounded healer archetype. You need that one. So I would go to the wounded healer file. I'd open it up and I'd take a stencil. You know what a cookie stencil is? I take a stencil. Why am I using that image? I chose that very consciously because a stencil is a specific pattern. This stencil, say it looks like a gingerbread man to give you a visual. All right, now it's an empty stencil of a gingerbread man. I have a million of them and they're all identical. But how you fill each one is going to be up to you. So this is where you share the identical stencil, the same parameters, the same boundaries, the same everything. But how you fill it is going to be up to you. So I give you your wounded healer stencil and I say, come on, let's go figure out the next realm. So then we keep talking and we decide that, you know what, another archetype that would be really beautiful on your life's mission would be the artist. The artist works very well for you because you have so much artistic talent. And you think, that's good. Yeah, that's going to work. So we give you the artist. And then we start filling out. How many do you get? Well, first, how many archetypes are there? There are an endless array of archetypes. In fact, this is kind of an overwhelming thought, but the whole of life is an archetypal experience. Everything in life can be seen, approached, understood, worked with, dealt with, symbolically, and that's what it means to see it archetypally. Everything has its symbolic purpose, its symbolic angle. And when you decide to see something symbolically, you convert it from its physical form to its highest level of purpose. At that point, you're seeing it archetypally. So, from that point of view, we could say that the entire world is an archetypal journey, which it is. All of life. Then, when you say, well, how many archetypes are there? They're endless, and they keep reproducing. Let me give you an example of some new archetypes that never existed before. One's the networker, and another one, the computer geek. We never had those before, but watch. If I said, that person's a computer geek, would you imagine somebody with glasses on? Uh-huh. And would you imagine someone who looks like Cary Grant? I don't think so. Right, Alfred E. Newman? Absolutely. Mad Magazine? You would see somebody who does not have high voltage sexual libido if I said computer geek. Because in our minds, we've already decided these two things don't go together. We just don't think they go together. And then we have an archetype that emerged called the networker. What's a networker? How many people jump on their computers and do emails the moment after dinner? They get home, they have dinner, and boom, they're in the basement and they connect with that machine, and that's their companionship for the rest of the night. They date via email, they dance via email, they live down there, they get on those chat rooms. That's a networker. This is a real pattern. And you realize that emerged out of our culture. That is an archetype. And I can assure you that before you're born, you get this cluster of archetypes. And they are more intimate with you than all of the other patterns that are available in the human unconscious. Having said that, I want to add something here. And that's, I said earlier that the fundamental law of the universe is that what's in one is in the whole. What's in the whole is in one. This is law. And as such, I can say to you that all of the archetypes that exist, the whole of the archetypal realm, does exist within your unconscious. Yes, that's true. But are they all as prominent? No, they are not. This is where that sense of prominence, that sense of importance plays itself out in terms of a match, a direct match for what your life's work is. And it's so interesting. You know what it's like to look at someone and say, wow, I would love to have artistic talent like that person does. And you just don't. And no matter what, someone would say, why don't you just take a painting class, paint the walls, do anything. You hold that brush in your hand, it falls, it slips, you can't do squat. You are so not in that archetype, it's not funny. It's like, get away from there, don't even go near it, you have not got it. But if you have, let me show you how penetrating it is. There is such a thing as the starving artist archetype. Absolutely. And you know what it's like when somebody says, how many times have you heard someone say, you're the artist, you know you can't make any money till after you're dead. There is almost an assumption. Is you go shopping in an art gallery and you say, this is lovely, is the artist dead? Then I don't want it. I only buy art from dead artists. But it's true. I know somebody personally who has an enormously strong artist archetype. And this is a very good example to use, an incredibly strong artist archetype. And he chose, remember I was talking about choice and surrender. It was his choice to not pursue the artist archetype in a welcoming way. I'm going to explain this in great detail so you understand what I'm saying. It's very important. Rather than look at his own talent, his own artist, his own precious ability that he'd contracted for, his whole life would open up in such an exquisite way had he followed this artist. It doesn't mean it would be without challenge. It doesn't mean that it would be without effort, but it would be exquisite no matter which route, because he would discover that artist in him. He'd plunge deeper into his talent. But instead, he hooked in to the starving artist. And he absolutely hooked in to this belief. It paralyzed him. The belief was that if you went the way of art, you wouldn't be able to support your family, you'd never make any money, da da da. And he believed it. That archetype took hold of him. Do you understand? It just gripped him. And he had to find some other way of manifesting this artist. And he did. He manifested it in going the route of cosmetic surgery. So he brought his artistry into cosmetic surgical medicine, so to speak. But you know what? He's miserable. He's absolutely miserable. And this is important because, you see, he did use it. He did manifest it. It had to manifest. He had a contract to explore part of his life as the artist. But he chose the path of fear, and so it came through that way. It's absolutely intriguing. Now, let's roll back for a minute. And the question, obviously, is how many of these intimate companions do you have? And I'm telling you that you have 12. Well, where does that number come from? Did I just whimsically pull it out of my head? No. Like all other material that I offer people, it comes from years and years of seeing patterns duplicate themselves. When I first started to do readings and began to pick up archetypal patterns, I started to notice one or two, sort of three, maybe readings, something like that. But I didn't notice 12 because I was just learning how to pick up an archetypal pattern to start with. Oh, have I got stories about that? But anyway, I have to give you an example. This is just a fun story, but I did a reading on this woman, and to show you how strong an archetypal pattern is, she came in for an appointment with my colleague, Norm Shealy, the physician that I work with. And she came in because she had what's called a phantom pain in her neck, sometimes referred to as a phantom goiter. Norm couldn't find anything, and he'd put her through tests, and he's the brilliant doctor. If he can't find it, it doesn't exist. So he calls me up, and he says, "Carolyn, I have this patient in my office, and let's just make up a name. Let's say the patient's name is Susan." And he says, "Susan and her age is 30, and those are the two stats that I need, your name and your age." And I instantly got an impression of a woman in a pirate's outfit. Now, I have to emphasize something. At this point, I don't know much about archetypes, if any. So I'm thinking that this is really what she looks like. Okay? I'm not yet to the point where I'm reading symbology. So I see this woman, and she's got a long skirt on, and she's got a belt on, and she's got that sort of scarf around her neck, and she's got a sort of a sword on the back of her. And I'm in this imagery, and I snapped out of it, and I grabbed the phone, and I said, "Norm, why is she dressed like that?" And he's looking at your basic Southern Missouri housewife in the jeans and the top, right? And he says, "I don't know, maybe she likes it." I close my eyes. I'm looking at a pirate. And I said, "Didn't your staff say something when she walked in?" Now, mind you, let me explain something. She can't hear me because I'm not on the speakerphone, all right? I said, "I don't understand why your staff didn't say anything." And he says, "Norm is very sort of direct. What are you looking at?" And I said, a pirate, Norm. What have you got in your office?" And he says, "A housewife. I'll call you later." Click. Well, so he and I talked about it. And I told him that I saw this woman and her head being chopped off with a sword. Now, what's fascinating here, because since this time, of course, since that time, your archetypal imageries tell me stories about you. And they try to tell you stories about yourself. So I'm going to get you into yourself as soon as I get you intrigued about what you can find out about yourself. So as we talked about it, I said in the imagery, her head was chopped off by the sword. Question: what does a pirate tell you? If I said, "All right, tell me about your associations with a pirate," what would you say? You'd say wild on the seas. You would say buccaneer, pirate, they mean the same thing. You might say there are thieves on water. You might say they live wild island lives and bury treasure, etc. Okay, now stay with me. What's a buried treasure? I want you to think about in yourself. You are a buried treasure. You. Your inner life is a buried treasure. Not out on the water, you start thinking, well, if I have the pirate imagery, I have what it takes to be completely wild, to race and be an incredibly wild person, because I don't want to look at my treasure. I'll bury it. Because if I looked at what a treasure I was, I might have to land and make different choices that show, reflect a higher evaluation of myself. But until then, I think I will bury this gold, because I'm not yet ready to value myself. Because if I do, I have to make choices of a higher quality. Does that make sense to you? So we worked with that image, because this is what that woman was dealing with. She was encountering an archetype that had come close to her psyche that said, this is why you're suffering. You don't want to make certain choices. Oh, well, look at her, the fifth chakra, the throat, the goiter. She was dealing with will and choice. So you know how Norm dealt with this? I think this is hilarious. He says to this conservative person, he suggests that they do some imagery, but what he really means is past life regression, but he's not going to tell her that. And he says, let me just sort of relax and give you some imagery. He says, you're on the water and it's blue and it's beautiful. It's sort of Caribbean and you've got warm breezes. And the next thing you know, she saw this ship being attacked, the buccaneers, like a pirate. And there she was. And you know what she saw? She saw her head lopped off by an axe. It was a duplicate image. It was a duplicate image. And could it mean that it literally happened? Who knows? Who cares? What's important is she saw, she recognized, she made contact with an archetypal force that completely embodied one of her life lessons, which was to choose, make choices that reflect and allow her own empowerment to come out. This is how an archetypal contract works its way out. This is how your archetypes work with you. Now, back to the question of where did I come up with 12? Well, the more readings I did, the more I started to make note that, in fact, people seemed to have more intimate connections, like the one I just described with Susan and the pirate. But I didn't see a martyr in her, whereas I saw a martyr in someone else. So you start making notes. And then with Susan, I saw other patterns, and with someone else, others. And pretty soon, it appeared that people would have kind of a complex of 12 very close archetypal patterns. And the rest were very distant. They weren't certainly as directly involved in the day-to-day construction of your life as other archetypes are.